for this privilege to come share with us the heart of God this morning. He's been a brother, he's also been a wonderful friend. And I also want to thank Mama. Since we came, he has kept our hand busy. The last time I was here, I said it here that I didn't miss home. But since we came, she has kept our hand and our mouth busy. Wonderful delicacies. Thank you, Mama. Can we appreciate the Lord with a clap offering unto Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate all of you. You're looking wonderful. I bring you greetings from way back home, Nigeria, Abuja. My wife sends her greeting as well. Hallelujah. So this morning, briefly, we're just going to share heart to heart what the Lord will want us to hear this morning. How many of us want to get to our next level? So if you want to get to your next level, can you walk up to at least 3 people and say, from today, I will see you at the top. Preach to somebody. I will see you at the top. I will see you at the top. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. Let's look into the mirror of God's word. Luke chapter 5, read from verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. Did we receive the ministration of the choir? As a voice of the Lord, amen. Lay him down. Lay it. Down. Lay it. Down. All right. 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tilings with his coach. Into the midst before Jesus. 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thought, he answering, said unto them, why reason ye among yourselves? Which one is easier to say, your sin be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye might know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately, somebody say immediately, he rose up before them, took up that whereon he laid, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange thing today. Another translation will say, we have never seen a thing like this before. Glory to God. This is going to be the testimony of somebody.
Amen.
It's going to be the portion of somebody.
Amen.
That at the bottom line, that you have been there for a while, God is going to lift somebody from that bottom line.
Amen.
To the top.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father in heaven, we thank you. How beautiful it is to behold your face in the mirror of life. How wonderful it is, Lord, to sit at your feet, to hear you speak to us. For with you are the words of eternal life. Father, we pray and ask that you will come to our level, at our faith, and give us grace to rise today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Bible says, from where we just read from, it says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. So every day of our life that we proceed on the journey of life, we are marching on day after day, and somehow along the line, God brings us into what I call an encounter that will lead us gradually to our destiny. Because life is a journey. Do you all agree with me? Life is a journey. Upon this very day, Jesus was in the house. And the Bible says the power of God was present in the house to heal the sick. Like we are gathered here today, he's here and his power is present.
Amen.
And so you need to catch that by faith, that the greatest doctors of all doctors is in the house to induce somebody here.
Amen.
To their sudden miracle.
Amen.
That his power is in the house. Anywhere Jesus steps into, things changes. And where the power of God is at work, there's nothing that is impossible.
Amen.
Is somebody hearing me? There's nothing that is impossible. Jesus was in the house. And while he was in the house, the power of God was with him. Don't you ever forget that. Though as a man, flesh and blood, but on assignment to fulfill the will of God. Like you and I on the planet Earth, the Holy Spirit, the same way he dwells in him, is the same way he dwells in us. And so when you see a set man, a man of God that is endued with grace, anywhere he goes, the power of God is also present.
Amen.
Jesus came into that house. The Bible tells us there were different set of leaders, those with doctorate degrees, those that can see afar, and those that are sad when they see. So they were all together in the house. You know, and those that we query his English and grammar. You know, you get to some places, there are professors that will take their pens and will be writing your mistakes. How you speak well and where you made some mistakes. And after the end of the thing, they will give you a paper. Guys, you didn't do well here. You know, Jesus was in the midst of these people, but thank God for the power of God. And the Bible says that while he was there, something happened. And what was it that happened? That a young man had a challenge. And this young man, the Bible never told us his name, about his parents. And when I read the scripture, I wondered that for years, he's not a young man, probably in his middle-aged life, maybe between 40 and 50, but the Bible says he was a paralytic. And when it comes to an issue of paralysis, it will take God. It will take God. Some years ago in Ibadan, when I went to Ibadan earlier to begin this work, I was pastoring in Lagos. God says, stop your work. Get to Ibadan. I am through with your assignment here. I have another new work for you. I left Lagos to Ibadan with only 50 naira in my pocket to do ministry. After that 50 naira, I transported 20 naira. Lagos to Ibadan, 1993. And when I got to Ibadan, I had to get to a friend's house, use the remaining transport, and I was going there for a ministry. But the long and short of it all, the day God said, rise up and get to where I will give you a place to begin from, I stood and I walked into the place. And when I got there to discover the property was owned by an Alaja, a Muslim woman, and at the beginning of it, she said, well, Pastor, we know you have money. You know, churches have money. She said that. She said, churches have money. So that you are coming here to start a work here, you must have a lot of money. So the banquet hall or the conference hall, which one you think you will? And I was dumbfounded. Now, while we were talking, a young man, she told me, I told her, I'll take the banquet hall because it's a smaller hall. To begin a walk, I was the only member to start a walk. While we stood and we were talking, a young man walked out of the hall and was leaping on one young lady that he couldn't use one part of the body very well. And then when they walked past, the Lord whispered to me, said, pray for this man. So I stopped the conversation and I said, please, can they were already going to the car. It was the hotel. They were going to the car to move from Ibadan to Lagos. And so the receptionist walked out, called them in again. The man came in with that same struggle. And when they came in, sat down, I said, young man, I don't know why you are here, but I believe God wants to encounter you. He said, that's fine. I said, to begin with, do you know God? I said, yes. Are you born again? He said, I think I am. I said, okay, where do you worship? He said, I'm a Sabbatarian. I said, that's fine. All I just needed you to know is, do you have a personal relationship with your maker? He said, I think I do. I said, no, you don't have to think. Because what you have, and you know that you have, you don't think about it. Long and short of it all, I led him to Christ. And I said, the Lord want me to pray with you. What is the problem? She said, I can't understand. I woke up one morning and discovered that I can't stand up from bed. So that was my story. I said, as we talk now, God wants to bring you out of this situation. She said, well, a lot of people had prayed with me, and yet the condition remains the same. I said, I am not a lot of people. God is not a lot of people. You have not seen me before. We are meeting for the first time. He said, okay, I believe. And then we prayed. But listen, we're talking about the issue of paralysis here. That was the first time I understood by the Spirit of God that the spirit of stroke is the spirit of death. When it hits and occupies one part of the body is as dead as fried dodo. And then the Lord said, rebuke the spirit that has occupied that part of the body. And then as I laid a hand on him, I rebuke the spirit of stroke. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of this body by the power of God. Receive healing. He sat where he sat. I stretched my hand again. I pulled him up. I said, do what you can't do before. And he began to shake. The Elijah stood and was watching. The young lady also stood and they were watching. And then he began to move. He began to move. And all of a sudden, he began to move his hand. The hand that he can't move. The leg that he can't move. And then he began to jump. I'm giving praise to God. Now, to confirm that I was sent to Ibadan, but no money in my pocket. And I now turn to Mama and say, Mama, now that you have seen that God sent me here to work, what do we say about the price? And she said, well, Pastor, I believe God sent you here to work. Before we talk, let's enter the office. And she said, what can I offer you? I said, whatever you have, bring it, I will eat. And meanwhile, I was just coming down from fasting. I've not eaten because not that I didn't want to eat, but there was no money to eat. I said, whatever you have, bring. And so we sat down. She gave me tea that I have not drank in days and gave me some bread. Now, and then after the whole thing, I said, what are we saying about the banquet hall? She said, God sent you to work. Just come and begin this work first before we talk about the price. Glory to God. Jesus was in the house. Listen to me, church. When you are on the journey of life, life is a progression. But according to your destiny, God takes you on a path that he prepares you and make you to encounter something that are relevant and that are in line to your path of destiny. And that's why when you begin in life, when you are hooked up to God, what God will do in the first place, not because he hates you, not because he doesn't want your good, he placed some ladder before you that you need to take some steps, step one, or step through, and gradually, step one, yes, you might make some mistakes, but that's not the end of the journey. Step two, you might fall from the ladder, but that's not the end of the journey. But according to the calendar of God, there's a place he's taking you to. And that's why he says, if the righteous man will fall seven times, there is grace enough that is made sufficient for the righteous. He's not talking of the unbeliever, but he's talking of those that have Christ in them. He says, if they fall seven times, grace is made available for them to rise and move on to that, to the peak of that ladder. Is somebody hearing me? And that's why, you see, when you encounter challenges, challenges are good because, you see, they also prepare you for where God is taking you to. That you're having challenges today is not the end of life. It's part of the battle that are necessary for you to fight. Some of us need to fight through. Some of us need to learn from our mistakes. Some of us need to fix our gaze on the Lord. Listen, when things are happening around you and you don't learn your lesson, it will be a recurring decimal. Why? Because God wants us to learn and move on. That you fall here is not the end of it. A failure is somebody who falls on the ground and refuses to stand up from where he falls. God takes us. If you don't catch anything, please catch this. God takes us on the path of destiny that is relevant to your destiny. My path might be different from your path. Your glory might be different from my glory. Your assignment might be different from my assignment. We don't have the same thing. That I am going through today is not the end of it all. It is necessary for me to go through, because without the story, you will never see the glory. Without the going through, you will never see the glory. So God prepares you to go through, that when you get through that story, the glory will appear. That's why God takes us through. It's not the end. It's not taking us through to destroy us. No! I can't forget in those early days, a prophet saw me in Ibadan and told me, he said, Pastor Ray, now that you are here with us, let me tell you one thing. He says, anointing, God will give you. But money will be the last thing you will have in ministry. I said, not my portion. I reject it with passion. Does that not look like a curse? I said, I reject it with passion. But he was trying to tell me something that he couldn't really pass it through to me in wisdom. And of a truth, anointing, yes, I was anointed, but there was no money in my pocket. And so, in those days, I've seen God move. I've seen the hand of God in several ways. Anointed, but no money to pay for house rent. Anointed, landlord will throw my properties on the street, and I have nowhere to move to. And my son will ask me, Daddy, where do we go from here? And I will say, the Lord will take us to the place called there.
Amen.
This is the message. Because there is always a place called there. Anointed. No money to pay for school fees. My children will be out for a season. Out of school. Anointed. And then I will think, look back and think and look through. I said, what this prophet told me. And you know, for years, I cut myself off from that prophet. Why? Because God will allow us to go through some of these things until you walk through some things. Hear me. You will never have the authority to challenge that thing. Didn't Apostle Paul say? He said, the God of all grace, I pray that the God of all grace and mercy will help you. Because it has to be with grace. Whatever you don't go through to master them, you will never have an authority to correct it. Jesus will allow us to go through some of these things, listen, so that eventually we'll become an high priest. that can also be touched with the feelings and infirmities of others. Upon this very day, according to this scripture, Jesus was in the house. This man had a challenge. There was no helper. Now that he had helper, the Bible says as they were bringing him in, the first thing they encountered was the crowd. The crowd. The crowd. The crowd. The crowd were there to stop this guy entering into his miracle. The crowd. And that's what we have in every church. Not only here, but every church. You always have the crowd. In every church, you have this three group of people that are always in the church. The crowd. The congregation. And then the pillar. When you have the crowd in the church, the crowd will always be at the door to stop people coming in. It's in the crowd. You have men and women with Absalomian spirit. Very deceitful. Very slippery. They will stand at the door to dissuade men coming into the church. Among the crowd, you also see them practicing witchcraft. They manipulate. They don't want to get into the kingdom. And they don't want order to come into the kingdom. They are in the crowd. It's in the crowd that they kill believers faster. And then you have the congregations. Those in the congregation, the day they like, they come to church. The day they don't like, they don't come to church. When their team is playing, their favorite team is playing football, they stay home to watch that football. When they like, they tithe. When they don't like, they don't give their tithe. Whether the work is progressing or not is none of their business. Now me build the church. If pastor like, he can continue. Sorry for my English. The congregation. It's in the congregation, somebody will rise up and say, you know, pastor, I have a degree in management. The way you manage this offering. If we don't do something about it, we're heading for crisis. It's in the congregation. Listen, no vision is run by management. Every vision, every work of God is run by the vision of God. And then you have the pillar. It's the pillar. Oh, every pastor of every church will like their pillar. It's the pillar that will stand with pastor day and night. Oh, I believe in your vision. They will give in to that vision. They will support the vision. They will do everything possible. Like all they were sharing with us this morning. To make sure that nothing fails. The pillars will support. The pillars will give in their best. The pillar will make sure that the work of the Lord does not stand still. The pillar will stand through praying on their nails. Ask somebody, which group are you? And the Bible said, why they crowded this young guy from getting through to Jesus. They said they devised another way. And they went through the rooftop. Sometimes I imagine, I say, if you are the owner of the house and you are sitting with Christ, and then all of a sudden you begin to hear some sound. Crack, 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 crack. Crack, 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 crack. And they are removing your roof. If I'm the one, I'll carry gun. Telling you. So Jesus, let's lay this one aside and deal with the one off. The Bible said they removed the roof, broke through the ceiling, and brought the man to the feet of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord give you faithful friends.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says a faithful friend who can find. May God raise friends that are helpers of destiny. May God bring men your way that will take you to your next level. May God bring men your way that will give you a shortcut to your journey. Every favor a man receive comes from God. But God will not come from heaven. He uses men. That's why friends are good. The Bible talks of these four friends that are helpers of destiny to this young man. Friends. Four. Number one is God. Number two is agreement. Three, Trinity. Four, good news. Five, grace. Six, the number of man. Seven, perfection. Eight, new beginning. Nine, restoration. 10, abundance and provision. 11, confusion. 12, government and order. May God perfect your numbers. May God bring you through and help you this season to get to your next level. They laid the man down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said, man, your sin be forgiven. This one I won't say is the devil, my wristwatch. I call this one. Jesus said, man, your sin be forgiven thee. And they began to reason among themselves. Who is this man? What authority does he have to forgive sin? And Jesus says that you may know that the Son of Man has power here on earth to forgive sin. He says, I don't need to negotiate that with you. It is not even a problem. Because that's one of the least things God can do. But that you will know that the Son of Man had power on earth. He says, man, take up your bed, rise up, and walk. And the Bible says immediately. But listen, the issue of sin had to be dealt with first before the miracle comes. Are you hearing me? The issue of sin had to be dealt with first before miracle comes. Why? Because sin is a killer of destiny. Right. Is somebody hearing me? Yes. A lot of people had fantastic, glorious destiny. But they are walking in a cycle because they are not able to deal with the issue of sin. I went to a village one time. The Lord sent me to a village one time. In one of my rural outreaches. And I got into this village. As I got into this village, the first day of the meeting, we had a very good time. But the second day of the meeting, in the morning, I was indoor praying. And then I began to overhear some conversation outside. Oh, they are waiting for this one to just breathe her last so that they will just lay her to the grave. And they were saying that, and I called one young man out in. I said, what was going on? And they said, there is a young girl in the community, 17 years old, that was put in a family way by another married man who later came to tell the young lady and said, I can't be responsible for this pregnancy. I'm a family man. And I already have enough on my hand that I'm not able to chew. 7 month pregnancy. He said, you have to evacuate this baby. And the lady said no. And he convinced this girl for her to see reasons why she should not carry the baby. And what this young man did was to take this young lady to a supposed quack doctor that the stretcher on the bench with one torch lighter and the scissors at the other hand, and began to brutalize this young lady. They penetrated her, began to cut and destroy the baby. As they were cutting through, the same scissors ruptured her uterus and then cut through into her intestine. And it was terrible. And so when she bled and almost died, they took her to the hospital. When they did an x-ray, they said, this one is case impossible. And so what they did was open her up because the intestine had been cut. The uterus destroyed. And then they removed the womb and then closed her up, inserted the tube into her intestine her urinary tract, that whatever she takes in, she can't even eat, need to pass through the tube out. That was the condition. When I heard it, I wept. I cried. I wept because of the level of damage and wickedness that was done to this young lady. And I said, God, is there hope? Is there hope for this young lady? Won't you do something? And the Lord spoke to me and said, there is hope. So I asked the young man, I said, can you please take me to the compound where this young lady stays? And then he led me that morning. I took my olive oil and he led me. I got there, and of a truth, we had large numbers of people waiting for her to drop her last breath. And I said, take me in. They took me in, and people were inside, people were outside. And I said, please, can you excuse me? And everybody in the room left. But it takes grace to stay in the room because of the petrification, the odor, the smell, the stench. She was already a living corpse lying on bed. While I stood, I looked up. And I looked at her. I said, young lady. She said, yes. Because there was no strength in her. I said, God has not given up on you. She said, yes. I said, even in this condition, God still loves you. She began to cry. I said, God has not forsaken you. Long and short of it all, I led her to Christ. And when I led her to Christ, I knelt down at the bedside with that stench, its grace. And I looked up to heaven. I said, God, now that you have saved her soul, I plead that you will give her a second chance. Before I could make the next state sentence, I began to cry. I wept. And I said, God, that this community will know that you send me here as a messenger. Lord, give her a second chance to live. And let this lady live again. Prayed with her, anointed her, and I left. I rebuked the spirit of death over her life. And I left. And when I left, wherever I host a crusade, I have this way of checking back after some months. And at about 3 months, I went back again to see how the converts were being discipled. I don't run a church. After every meeting, we give them out to churches that are around. And if there are no churches, we look for an indigent missionary, you know, to look after the convert, to help us disciple them. Now, when I got back, I said, well, let me go back again and check what was happening, what had happened. And while I went back, as I was just going, approaching the same compound, I saw somebody who sat on a bench outside with her hair shaved. And I didn't really recognize her. With a wrapper tied on her waist, and then one simple shirt on. She sat down. She was looking. And I was walking. I was walking towards her to ask, where was the lady I prayed for? What has happened? Was she alive or she was dead? And when I walked close, she stood up from where she was, leaped, and then jumped on my neck. And when she did that, I looked at her again the second time. And she said, Pastor, thank you. She said, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Then she removed her wrapper. She said, you can see the scars. As I talk with you, I have an intestine. I have womb. He said, Jesus healed me. So the day you came, prayed, and you left, I went into a vision. And in that vision, I saw myself sat on a chair tied to a tree. He said, why you left? He said, I saw the Lord Jesus walk through. And while he walked through, all he did was spoke. He says, daughter, you are loosed. And the rope that was used in binding me began to unwind. While it unwind, after that, I stood up from the chair and I leaped forward. I began to run. And while I ran, I woke up. I knew that Jesus came to save me. She said, Pastor, thank you. This is what we're talking about. When God is involved, nothing can stop it. When God is involved in your life, you are unstoppable. When God is involved in your life, nothing is impossible. When God comes from the bottom, he will raise you up to the top. And that's the anointing that is present in the house today. I come to declare that whatsoever has held you down at the bottom, it is the hour has come for them to give up. I stand as a servant of God to declare that whatever has been staged against you, today they are giving way. Today they are breaking up. Today God is moving somebody forward. Today God will take you up there. You have been on this mountain recycling, but I come to tell you that the cycle of failure will be broken. The cycle of failure will be broken. Every challenge of mere Sussex syndrome, I cast it by the Spirit of God. I command that the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Is it that? You know, Jesus said in the beginning it was not so. The enemy did it so. Every sickness that comes against anybody is an affliction to destroy the person. Because the purpose of the enemy, the Bible says, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is no mission of the enemy that is good. But thank God, he says, for this purpose, the Son of Man had been made manifest, that he will destroy the works of the devil. Church, I announce to us that there is an anointing in the house. And that anointing is a yoke-destroying anointing. If you believe, can you just stand to your feet? Lay down. Lay down. Lay down. Because the grace to lift somebody and take you to the top is present in the house. It does not matter how long you've stayed with it. But hear me. There's an anointing. There's a presence of the Lord that is here to break through. Somebody is about entering into the fullness of that glory. Oh, Jesus. Somebody's about walking through. Somebody's about moving on. Somebody's about leaping up for joy. Because an eternal testimony is about to be placed on you. That men will begin to celebrate and say, we have never seen it in this form. We never knew it can happen. You, yes, you are the one that is on the line for that miracle. It does not matter how many demons are involved. The power of God is in the house to break the enemy. You're going to pray one more prayer. One, just one prayer, and then we'll seal it all. You tell God, say, whatever has kept me down for this why that has retrogressed my step, from today, I challenge the challenger. I judge that limitation. I come against you. In the name of Jesus, I break through. I don't know. You are not praying. Let heaven encounter somebody here. Whatever helps me down, whatever stopped me, whatever has kept my miracle far from me, today, I challenge you in the name of Jesus to give up. 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 Whatever poison that has been injected into my system, by the authority of grace, by the blood of Jesus, I dissolve you. I come against that sickness in my system, on my head and my eyes, in my bones, in my marrow, by the authority of grace. Ibrato sato prakete pranto labota yabata ilerute kembota balia tiprato kenduke tulia jalalia katakalia. I break through. Paul areta haya. Jesus. Maligano shate, ninga damo koshika.